Nick Fury in the podcast himself, starting as shall start. Hi and welcome to the On Name Movie Podcast. This is episode 19 billion on something. We don't know here.
I really wish we had made 19 billion because it would have made it that much more sad.
Yep. This week we were supposed to review a movie that Douglas picked, but we're all wisely not going to do that. We won't even say the name because he probably shouldn't watch this. What we'll do instead is we're going to discuss the most recent season and just finished season of Game of Thrones, depending on when you listen to this. It's season 3, and I'll kick it off. Season 3 is bad, guys. It is bad. A, nothing happens until episode 9, and B,
wait,
episode
hold on,
10 is
hold on.
Terrible!
Hold on.
What did you say,
I live in the Caribbean, right? And I really need some help here because I have learned over the years that things like wicked and bad and horrendous tend to be different things. So right, I need to make sure that you're speaking correctly, David.
Right. So let me put it in the Queen's English. Episode 9 is dreadful. It is the opposite of good things. It is bad things. If you compare it to the first two seasons, you are an evil person and you shouldn't do that. But even if you abstract it out, just as a season of TV, it is not good. Again, nothing happens until episode 9. And then they follow up episode 9 with probably the worst episode of the season. So no, I did not enjoy watching season 3 of Game of Thrones, which I did almost in one view, and I watched the first 9 episodes, which I love saying that statement because it doesn't make sense, because there's 10 episodes. I watched 90% of this TV show in one viewing, and then waited 6 days to watch the finale, and was sorely disappointed. Now, I understand that saying bad things about Game of Thrones is a punishable offense. But it is bad. And I would like the two of you to explain to me why I am wrong. Starting with Andrew. So Andrew seems very, very intent on proving me wrong. So Andrew Robinson.
Well, first of all, why is
season 3 great?
I'd like to make it clear that I think that I lack the ability to ever make you feel like you are wrong, Damien.
But it is the journey that we come here for.
Okay, so Game of Thrones season 3. Mm-hmm. This is a season which I'm going to totally ruin this
happens.
Because
just say it with me. Nothing happens. This is where nothing happens.
There's been this thing that's
okay, sorry.
Can someone just kick Douglas? Damon, kick Douglas. Like, I wanted it to be the other way around because Damon said bad things about this show. But, you know, just Damon is fine. Kick Douglas. The show has been doing this thing for the last two seasons, where they've been having people saying, I want to say the words, but I know I'll mix them up. I know it's Valar Morghulis and there's something else. And one is to that all men must serve, and the next is that all men must die, right? And this has been the season of all men must die, right? And it's fascinating to me to watch a show like this where, like, we've talked about shows like Breaking Bad and my brain is suffering to find the next one in my mind. Mm-hmm. Where literally it feels as if the showrunners are basically taking away every slim chance of hope that you have in this show. And you literally every week are just kind of you're just kind of settling for a lesser version of good or a lesser version of just general happy feelings whenever you're watching shows like this. Because on a weekly basis, this show goes from one level of depravity to another. Where, for example, early in the season, you have the... you have the story of Jaime Lannister and Bran, who we left at the end of last season being let go in order for Bran to... Brienne to return Jaime Lannister to the Lannisters in order to somewhat trade off for her daughters, Arya and Sansa Stark, who she doesn't know whether they're there or not, but she's hoping that they're still within the possession of the Lannisters in King's Landing. And as that story progressed, you got to see these moments where not only was it just a figuring out of characters, where Brienne was this one who we kind of told is this badass warrior, but at the end of the day, just like the show's characters who sees it as, oh, you're a badass warrior, but you're a girl, you know, you're only as badass as girls can be. So Jaime Lannister always is challenging her. At the same time, she can bring it back. She can return all of those challenges really easily. And then you get to further on in the story where there's this guy. Is he from that show? He's from Almost Famous. He's the guy with the knife. He has crazy eyes. I really don't know his character name right now. Who captures Jaime Lannister?
He's the hand chopper.
Yes, the hand chopper. And eventually to the bear. It's this wonderful story arc where literally this show, for the first two seasons, we align Jaime Lannister with incest, with pushing a child off a tower because he saw him fucking his sister. We align him with capturing Ned Stark, basically the best character, not best as in like favorite, but just like general as in goodness character out of the show ever, which ended up getting him decapitated and executed, as if those things are mutually exclusive. And at the same time, we have this arc this season with Jaime Lannister where we actually end up rooting for him again. He's been called the Kingslayer for the entire show, and we finally understand where that comes from, and it's from this personal moment. And also by the fact that he's had his hand cut off. It's this insane thing where he's become completely emasculated. There's nothing more of who he was in the first two seasons. In the first season, that makes him look anything like he was before. And
there it is. That's the look. Seen it for 17 years and face after face. You all despise me. Kingslayer. Oathbreaker. Man without honor.
You heard of Wildfire?
Of course.
Mad King was obsessed with it. He loved to watch people burn. The way their skin blackened and blistered and melted off their bones. He burned lords he didn't like. He burned hands who disobeyed him. He burned anyone who was against him. Before long, half the country was against him. Arrows were traitors everywhere. So he had his pyromancer place caches of wildfire all over the city. Beneath the sept of Baelor and the slums of Fleet Bottom, and houses, stables, taverns, even beneath the Red Keep itself. Finally, the day of reckoning came. Robert Baratheon marched from the castle after his victory at the Trident. But my father arrived first, the whole Lannister army at his back, promising to defend the city against the rebels. I knew my father better than that. It's never been one to pick the losing side. I told the Mad King as much. I urged him to surrender peacefully.
But the king didn't listen to me. He didn't listen to Varys, who tried to warn him. But he did listen to Grand Maester Pycelle and Grey Sunken Cunt. You can trust the Lannisters, he said. The Lannisters have always been true friends of the crown. So we opened the gates and my father sacked the city. Once again, I came to the king, begging him to surrender. He told me to bring him my father's head. Then he turned to his pyromancer. Burn them all, he said. Burn them in their homes, burn them in their beds. Tell me if your precious Renly commanded you to kill your own father and stand by while thousands of men, women and children burned alive, would you have done it? Would you have kept your oath then? First I killed the pyromancer, and then when the king turned to flee, I drove my sword into his back. Burn them all, he kept saying. Burn them all. I don't think he expected to die. He meant to burn with the rest of us and rise again. Reborn as a dragon, turn his enemies to ash. I slit his throat to make sure that didn't happen.
Why is it that I root for him at this point? Is this show trying to hurt me? I have not answered Damien's question, but I've just gone into general ranting and raving about how much I like this show.
You have, Douglas, but can I can I actually I wanted to cut you and I didn't, so I think I deserve first of all some applause for that.
Yes.
But can I say, it sounds like you might be on the same page with me, but am I the only one that I'm hopeful that Jaime Lannister and the Lady Knight get together and, you know, become man and lady, lord and lady?
Have you seen Game of Thrones? Let me give you the percentage of that happening. Negative a thousand.
Cersei would have her murdered in 2 seconds. He's like, get away from my man.
Yeah, but listen, have you seen this lady? She would box Cersei across the face, put her over her knee, and deal with that shit.
And then we'd watch as thousands of arrows hit her and she falls to the ground. Douglas, no, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, all right.
But it is subtle manipulation by the
no
show,
of course it is.
I saw it for that. Oh, you guys think I'm an idiot. It's never going to happen, but nice try, guys.
Oh my goodness. But no, this TV show, oh, mm-hmm. God, you see, I can't talk when Damien looks at me like this, because what he does, right, just for all of you listeners, what he does whenever he believes that you are wrong, mm-hmm. and
are about to talk nonsense,
mm-hmm. he just looks at you with, he tries to hold it back, but he can't hold back the smile that's on his face. So what he does is he half covers his mouth with his hand and then just nods repetitively and says, uh-huh, mm-hmm. 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 Uh-huh, okay. So
yeah, sounds right.
So, thank you for being an asshole, Damien. But
condescending, yes.
Yes. This show, this season, I think, was decent. It definitely was kind of...
I'm sorry. So, it's now decent?
No.
A wrong lower than good?
No,
how
it's
is
not.
This work?
No, oh, it's not. Okay. It was a good... I enjoyed this season. Right, I'm trying to rationalize. Okay, so I am now trying
Damien,
to see.
You're an ass. Stop.
I am trying to see if Damien has a point. And as I always do, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to start off and do a lot of backpedaling, mm-hmm. and go from this is the greatest TV show in the world to this is manageable. It's watchable. And then as I continue to talk, I'm going to remember more and more things that I love about the show. And by the end of our conversation, I'm going to slap Damien in the face and tell him he is wrong. So, let us begin this process.
Just as you slap him, say, imping ain't easy. No? Okay. That fun moment when you're not that funny.
Can't wait till Google invents a way for me to punch people through the internet.
Google doesn't have to invent it. We can do it next week.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, Andrew. I have to get that one out of my system. I'm sorry. Okay. This show is... I really like this show. I really like this season. I like... the thing about this show, is, and you know what? I think I have to kind of lay my bias out there. I have not read all of these books, right? No, I know. I just want to say, but it.
Have you read some of these books?
I've read the first half.
A Song of Ice and Fire. Why in God's name?
I've read like the first few chapters of the first book. And hope to actually finish the series. But what I have read and what I am a big, huge fan of is another series that is very similar called The Wheel of Time. For those of you who don't know, written by Robert Jordan. It's great. Andrew doesn't like to read, so he seems to think that it's not
I mean, I exciting. Watch foreign movies. Doesn't that count?
Right. This is the same man who told me he read like the first 5 pages... And was like, oh, it's so long. It's all about the coat. Then he got the audiobook because you know how he is. He can't sit down and whatever. And then audiobook. He told me that the audiobook was great. Yeah. So Andrew, shut the fuck up.
By the way, I've never finished that audiobook. Wow. It's like 40 hours long. I'm like, that's oh.
Perfect. Yeah, because it's a long book.
I need to get that. But I have like a long list of nonsense before that.
Yeah. Anyway, it's very similar. It's kind of, you know, the whole, essentially, what these, all of these stories are, is Lord of the Rings with dragons, or Lord of the Rings with magic, or whatever it is, right? So, it's along those lines, right? And I am the biggest fan of that series, and I've dabbled in a few others and enjoy those as well. So, I kind of have that bias towards this kind of stuff. And even in the Wheel of Time, there are some books that are very much preparation for other books, right? It's like you have not just the magic and the dragons killing people, which is what you love because that's what you love, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you also have the political intrigue and the maneuvering that people do in, you know, courts and such things, which is, you know, what this time is based on. This is medieval times, essentially, where, you know, you've got kings, their ladies, their lords, their court, and all of them try to be in the best favor with the people who can help them along the way. And perhaps it is that I love the books, perhaps it is the type of person that I am, but I do rather enjoy that kind of stuff as well. And, I mean, I think a lot of people do, which is why a show like House of Cards gets so much praise, right? Yes, it's a little bit more pumped up, but it effectively is politicking and maneuvering, right?
I've started watching House of Cards.
Oh, have you?
It's pretty good.
It's amazing. So, I feel like a lot of this season was that. It was, okay, let's slow down a minute. Yes, there be dragons, but they're across the ocean. And yes, there were all of these Stark guys, but we cut off the guy's head and they're just trying to deal with that.
Right.
Let's be Lannisters and just rule. And that's kind of what this series was about. And what you notice is... Oh, fuck you, Dave.
No, I've started it up again. Because you two are, I mean, These are some two of the worst defenses.
No, I'm not. I'm not defending. I don't need to defend something that I just outright love for no reason.
Right, but all right? You guys are wrong.
Anyway, you like a lot of things you shouldn't like.
I am well aware of that.
So, I love the intrigue, the moving around. I love the fact that, you know, Sansa Stark has to marry the imp because the houses need to merge. And I love that the imp, while being what one would call a rapscallion, he is respectful enough to be like, yo, all right, I know I can't fight this, so I'm going to marry you, but I'm not going to behave like your husband. I'm not going to bed you because I know, look at me, you don't want me, it's cool. Right? You know, that kind of stuff. I kind of like seeing the other side to him, which they've alluded to very many times in the past two seasons. I like the Jaime Lannister story. As much as Andrew sounded a little bit ridiculous, I think I sound and feel as ridiculous when I watch that. I am definitely on Team Jaime Lannister. I don't know what I want, because he clearly is not like this redeemed man, and he just kind of lost a bit of his mojo, and he's now discovered how, you know, the other side of the tracks feels like, and that might be an interesting play. It definitely was. I liked his story, the whole of his story, from escaping Rob and escaping Rob and the Starks, being, you know, essentially dragged by this huge woman, and, you know, slowly but surely forming that bond, and coming even closer as the more rungs he falls down, he gets closer to her. I really love how all of the Lannister family is treating the king. I think that's just great. That, you know, he's like, I am the king! And his grandfather is like, okay, time for you to go to bed with no supper. And please, Meister, give him some medicine to help him fall asleep. Yeah, I kind of
bullshit. I love, there's this one episode I love where you see, there's this scene with Joffrey on the throne, and he calls in his grandfather, yes. Tywin. And he's like, how was I not caught? Tywin is like, you will be told what you should think, so shut the fuck up and let me go do my work.
All right. So exactly. Giving you
exactly.
20 or so minutes.
But I think the best story, let me just tell you the best story. Fine. And I know this is going to be the only thing that you like about this season.
You'll be wrong.
I sure. would be, okay. The best story out of the whole season, the best storyline is Daenerys and the dragons. I love that she's... No? Okay, whatever. But I love that she's essentially going from slave city to slave city, freeing the slaves. Not only doing it, you know, kind of being this kind Mother Teresa thing. That's an interesting side note, but not enough to get me off. I love how she's just kind of becoming this badass queen, right? She is commanding her troops, and she's just walking in and taking no shit from nobody. She walked in the first town with about, what, 5 soldiers, and just said, listen, I am taking...
Who are all seasick.
Exactly, who are all seasick. She said, I am taking your army, and there's nothing you can do about it. They told her what?
That's kind of not what happened.
Whatever. It ended up... the result was the same.
No.
Then she went to the second town, and was like, again, guys, I'm taking your... I'm going to take down your city.
Unless I says, bitch.
Ancient and glorious is Yunkai. Our empire was old before dragons stirred in old Valyria. Many an army has broken against our walls. You shall find no easy conquest here, Khaleesi.
Good. My Unsullied need practice. I was told to blood them early.
If blood is your desire, blood shall flow. But why? 'Tis true, you have committed savageries in Astapor. But the Yunkai are a forgiving and generous people. The wise masters of Yunkai have sent a gift for the Silver Queen. There is far more than this awaiting you on the deck of your ship.
My ship?
Yes, Khaleesi. As I said, we are a generous people. You shall have as many ships as you require.
And what do you ask in return?
All we ask is that you make use of these ships. Sail them back to Westeros where you belong and leave us to conduct our affairs in peace.
I have a gift for you as well. Your life.
My life.
And the lives of your wise masters, but I also want something in return. You will release every slave in Yunkai. Every man, woman, and child shall be given as much food, clothing, and property as they can carry as payment for their years of servitude. Reject this gift, and I shall show you no mercy.
You are mad. We are not Astapor or Karth. We are Yunkai. And we have powerful friends, friends who would take great pleasure in destroying you. Those who survive, we shall enslave once more. Perhaps we'll make a slave of you as well. You swore me safe conduct.
I did. But my dragons made no promises, and you threatened their mother.
Take the gold.
My gold. You gave it to me, remember? And I shall put it to good use. You'd be wise to do the same with my gift to you. Now get out.
No,
you're not taking my city.
And she's like, oh yeah? All
right.
But I just love that.
All right, guys, the TV show is Game of Thrones. It's not, when I say it's bad, I don't mean it's terrible or unwatchable, because clearly I sat there watching 10 hours of it. What I did say is that when you compare it to the first two, there's no comparison. The first two seasons are far, far better than this season. And this season is really bad because, when you compare it to the other three, because nothing happens. At the end of season two, there's a full-blown war and there's ice demons coming to kill everybody. What is the state of the world 10 hours later in season 3? There's ice demons that we haven't seen since the first episode.
We saw one get killed.
No, we saw a White Walker.
A White Walker does not count as ice demons coming to kill everybody. He was already eating babies, so he was already there. He doesn't count. So, there's still a... Which they finally talk about the fact that there's people coming to murder everybody in the south in episode 10. Which is, thank you for that. That's why I watched 9 hours previous. So that at the end of the season you can say, oh right, the ice demons that we saw at the end of the last season, they're still coming. But don't worry about that. Right, that is one. There's a full-blown war in the south. Explain to me what has happened with that war. From episode 1, where Robb Stark was alive, and he had a wife, and he never lost a battle.
Yeah, it's very simple.
And then we spent 7 episodes watching a Lannister and some woman walk through things, and the King of the North doing absolutely nothing, talking to his mother, and pouting and shit, and getting some bitch pregnant. And then in episode 9... something happens, and I go, all right, maybe they're going to use these last two episodes, this last episode, to rectify all of this. Shit is going down in episode 10. Thank God, because I'm bored to tears. Nothing happens.
But listen.
Okay, no, stop. Stop. My favorite character, Sansa, which everybody, she had a magic guy that was murdering people for her that she sent away.
That's Arya,
that's
by the
Sansa.
Way.
Yeah, that's Arya.
That's Arya.
Sorry. Arya, right. Sansa is the one that is getting married. Arya had...
Yeah, that story has lots of potential.
Arya has ninja guy
that
was murdering people that changed his face and disappeared and everyone. And went, holy shit, this could be awesome. And of course, nothing happened with him until episode
10. But you
10,
saw when she called, coin, yeah, she called
and
him
called
back.
Rapunzel or something. Still haven't seen him, nothing has happened. She did stab some guy in the neck, which I guess that's fantastic. Greyjoy got captured. That was probably the only great thing to happen for this season.
Can I tell you?
Them torturing that fool, because that was fun.
Is it sad that probably my most enjoyment out of that whole... I know, there were lots of great jokes in there, right? But my biggest enjoyment from that storyline was the fact... Or was rather, who kidnapped him. That guy is actually from another show that I used to love and have sadly have to come to the conclusion... Well, I haven't yet stopped watching it, though I should, that it is horrible. No. But that show is called Misfits, which I think I've spoken about many times.
I know him from a couple of episodes.
Yeah, that show was awesome. He was kind of cool in it. His name is Yvonne something another. He's kind of cool. And he does very well in this show, too.
So they tortured Greyjoy, but that has no bearing on anything, because nothing has... As far as the rest of the world knows, right? None of his information about the two boys not being dead has reached anybody else. So, them torturing him for this season is pretty much useless. And so, and on it goes. All of the things that we knew at the start of season 3, right? Not a lot of it changed during season 3 until episode 9, right? Episode 9 is when shit started to go up. The whole thing about the Dragon Queen going from town to town and freeing slaves is cute. That's cute. But she's not fighting anybody. That is not interesting TV. What she's done is broken contracts time and again in order to trick people into giving up. Which, I mean, if someone comes to you and says, I have 3 dragons and you have 10,000 people... You throw the spears at the girl and take those dragons. Nobody would make that. That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Right? How does that make any sense? All you have to do is kill her. Who is going to stop you? No one.
The dragons will stop you.
How? How are they going to...
They breathe fire. Mm-hmm.
So she came to them. None of them knew she had dragons. Which gives you 2 useful bits of information. A, the dragons are small, because you can't hide large dragons. Right? And B, they're not ferocious enough to protect her, or they would be here beside her. And you said, I'm going to give you all of these highly skilled armed men, and you're going to give me a bird that breathes fire. Which is fine. Until he realized that he's unscrupulous and he would have murdered her on the spot. She should be dead. And then he goes to another town, and for some reason, the hired gun, who is the most beautiful of all men, decides to betray everyone for her timeless beauty and dragons. Which, guys, if we're going to go down this road, where all she's going to do is bat her eye at people, and people just going to and win, right? Are she going to hit the strip naked button and win? I'm not. That is not what I'm here for.
Damien.
I'm here for dragons.
Have
and
you.
Fights.
Damien. Have so, you ever played
Andrew,
a Final Fantasy game?
Andrew, listen to me. I gave you time. You did a terrible job. Now sit here and listen. If they had all I asked of them, because even the Jon Snow thing, right? Where that was the one with the most potential, and I went, all right. Let's see what they do here. They're like, we're going to scale the wall and we're going to head inside. So their plan was to take 8 or so people.
About five people.
Right.
Yeah.
8 or so people into over a 500 foot wall or however high the wall is. And then what exactly were they going to...
Well, there were a lot more people. They just died on the wall.
Right.
There was that big explosion.
Even before that, there were like 10 people.
But say they brought 100 people. What would the plan be once they scale the wall? To convert the people over there to their side? Was that the Wildling's plan?
Kill all the Night's Watch.
Oh, okay. Right. So again, That was real dumb. And the little crippled boy being able to talk to use his mind to enter Hordor and wolves is also very cute.
That could be awesome. The only thing...
No. They don't get... I'm not giving them any points for potential awesomeness.
Yeah, but...
They got that at the end of last season when there was a giant snow army coming. That was potential.
I hear you.
And
but no,
this
I'm actually...
Is going to be
listen,
awesome.
My next statement is actually going to be more on your side of things. Mm-hmm. I just wonder how awesome he can be if he has to get wheeled around. Like, that's
no,
a little bit...
Say he can... That's in a habit, Hordor's mine, and then Hordor turns out to be the most efficient clean machine in the world. Fine. I would have given them points for potential if they didn't end last season where they ended last season. You cannot tell me that, alright, at the end of last season, there were dragons, there was two wars about to pop off, because the Starks were going to murder the Lannisters, and Ice People was going to murder everybody. And some guy came with ships and got murked and went, fine. Next season, you guys have done this properly. What do you have for me in season 3? 8 hours of nothing, one good episode, and then the worst. the last episode is terrible. It is. What happened? What? Mother. They even called it mother. 1 million slave people. Call this girl mother, and I'm so. What is that supposed to mean?
All right, so Damon, what is it you really expect from this show? Because this show has followed its own format 3 years running.
What they promised at the end of last season. That is what I expect. You know, Andrew, you can't do that. Andrew, if this was any other TV, what you're doing is what I did until episode 10 was, cling to the, you know, the little stories that I kind of enjoy. My favorite episode is The Climb, which I think is episode 8. And the reason for that is at the end of that episode, he was explaining what chaos is. Like, chaos is a lot of...
Ugly old thing. Yet it has a certain appeal. The Lysa Arryn of chairs. Shame you had to settle for your second choice.
Early days, my friend.
It is flattering, really.
You feeling such dread at the prospect of me getting what I want.
Thwarting you has never been my primary ambition, I promise you. Although, who doesn't like to see their friends fail now and then?
You're so right. For instance, when I thwarted your plan to give Sansa Stark to the Tyrells, if, I'm going to be honest, I did feel an unmistakable sense of enjoyment there. But your confidant, the one who fed you information about my plans, the one you swore to protect, you didn't bring her any enjoyment. And she didn't bring me any enjoyment. She was a bad investment on my part. Luckily, I have a friend. Wanted to try something new, something daring. And he was so grateful to me for providing this fresh experience. I did what I did for the good of the realm. The realm. Do you know what the realm is? It's the thousand blades of Aegon's enemies. A story we agree to tell each other over and over till we forget that it's a lie. But what do we have left once we abandon the lie? Chaos. A gaping pit waiting to swallow us all. Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder. Many who try to climb it fail.
And, you know, you have to do all of these things. I'm like, that is terrific. I want more of that. Clearly, that was never going to happen.
Damon,
that
I have one question. Mm-hmm. So, there was only one good episode this, and that was episode 9.
It was episode 9.
But episode 8 is your
favorite
episode.
Yes, episode 8 is still my favorite. It's not a good episode. It's my favorite episode. There's a lot of, as you guys say, you know, there's the show, there's a lot of maneuvering and a lot of things happening. But all that maneuvering has left us in the exact same spot that we were left in at the end of season 2, minus Robb Stark. That is it. Because there's still other people that can lead the North, because he left people behind.
Well, they're not very many Starks left, though.
Fine.
There's Snow, who is technically not a Stark, right, but we'll call him a Stark for now.
And the two boys,
Rickon and what was the other one?
But I'm pretty sure that all the guys in the North are not going to throw down arms now that the Lannisters have tricked their leader into a wedding and murder. I'm pretty sure that's not going to foster any extra love. So there's still a war there. There's still ice people. And there's still Dragon Woman that is on the other side of the world. That is the exact point that we ended season 2. So can you two please tell me what happened in season 3?
We see that Arya is going to become...
No, you stop.
Arya is going to become like the badass murderer lady.
She rubbed the coin and called Merlin back. Andrew Robinson, yes.
I'd like to apologize to you, Damian, because I'm sorry that you went through 30 hours to reach here and didn't find joy, or at least didn't find entertainment, because I wouldn't say joy. I don't say joy is embedded anywhere in this show, right? Because it's just sadness all over. But I think that you're looking for the wrong thing here, especially in this season. Because, I mean, I did rant and rave about Jaime Lannister's story earlier. But I think that is basically what season 3 is for this show. It isn't the action-packed potential awesome where we get in season 2 where we have the battle at Blackwater. Where it's this big, amazing battle and all of this action. And then we have the Ice Walkers there and we're going, oh, this is going to... No, it isn't that season. It isn't the season where you see the Hound being the badass of badasses. This is a season of changing perspective. Because just like Jaime Lannister's storyline, there are at least 4 others which basically... continually change your perspective on characters.
All right, okay, so Jaime Lannister is one. Who is the next one?
You have the story of the Hound and Arya. Arya is a character who, when season 2 ended, she, as you've mentioned, she had the opportunity to go with, I don't remember his name, I think it's Jagara.
The ninja guy,
and become the most badass of badasses and take vengeance on everyone she ever wanted to take vengeance on. She said, no, I don't want to do that. I'd prefer to spend my time and effort getting to my family, because they are the ones I miss, they're the ones I love. I want to get to my brother Robb, my mother. I want to be with them, right?
And
then, of course,
about her, what has changed about Arya
in that very last moment between episodes 9 and 10? I mean, you can compact in all of the other ones where she is on this path. She goes into the Brotherhood of the Light. She gets captured by the Hound, and she's off on this path. But between 9 and 10, it's basically this moment where, just like we've talked about already, she rubs a coin. It's that moment where she's changed her mind. She's like, you know what? This family shit not working out. Lannisters are dicks. All of us. I'm going to become ninja. No.
Andrew, as far as she knows, all her family's dead. What were her other options? Please tell me. Please tell me what her other options
were. She could have married the Hound.
All right, so Arya
and she could have taught him how to not be afraid of fire.
So Arya doesn't count. The Hound was thrown out of his kingdom, so he is essentially a mercenary, and he's still an asshole. So he hasn't changed either. So that is still one. You've given me one, but you said there was 4. So can I have the other 2, please?
Theon Greyjoy, right? When season 2 ends, we have seen he has supposedly killed Bran and Rickon. He has sacked Winterfell. Right. He has murdered and tortured numerous people. Mm-hmm. Not personally, but there was that big moment where he decapitated the Maester of Winterfell. Mm-hmm. And of course, he became the biggest asshole in the world.
Right.
it ended with him being captured, and we wake up in this season with him in a dungeon, strapped to a thing, being tortured. To which, after what he did in season two, we're happy for. Mm-hmm. You know, Theon is a dick. He deserves all of this.
And what about him has changed? What is the new perspective that we've gained now that he's been tortured?
If you're just going to say, Andrew, you're wrong, you can just tell me to not talk anymore.
No, Theon, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. He has a new perspective now. He can think more clearly without being clouded by his penis.
Right.
Yes, Andrew? Do you agree?
No, you're saying that this season is about changing perspectives of the people. But if you're captured and being tortured, what exactly?
Also, now you have Theon's sister coming to get him.
That is right, but that is potential awesome, and you're not giving points for that. No, you don't get. You can't. It's the same thing on the internet. Everybody's like, "Holy shit! Next season is going to be."
Let me for a moment, right? Continuing on Theon Greyjoy, because I'm not going to potential awesome, right? I'm not going there.
No, right? That was not your argument. That was Douglas's argument, and I'm not giving any points for that.
But the thing about Theon is that because it's this slow, this ridiculously slow and just very arduous storyline of this guy who they told us in the last episode that he is the bastard son of Roose Bolton. Is it Roos or Bruce? For some reason, my brain is kind of mixing it up. By the way, I found it really funny when he read out the letter and he's like, bastard son of Lord Bolton, Lord of the Dreadful, or some shit like that. Like, that made me laugh. because it's such a slow and arduous thing, I don't know if this happened for you guys, but it kind of got to a point where it stopped being revenge, where I'm going like, Theon is the biggest dick in the world. To, just kill the guy. Like, it just... I started to feel sad for Theon, who had to exist through this... ordeal.
Andrew, I want to say to you now that you are a decent human being. Okay? Because I want to tell you where I'm coming from, what my perspective is. And this is why some people don't want to go to movies with me, because I'll just start laughing when people are shooting... Mm-hmm. And killing people. So I love that storyline. Why? Because it's fucking hilarious.
Thank you very much, Douglas Robinson.
It is. It's fantastic. This kid,
it's
just
beautiful to watch.
He just revels. He enjoys. He savors every moment.
And I like that too.
And I love it.
He's
I love that
his
he
soul is what
Andrew, the first thing he did, he doesn't end with this. This is fantastic. The first thing this guy does is he pretends to save him. So he gets so into the part that he kills his own people. And slowly winds him up and pushes him through the forest in secret back doors. You think he's finally reached his sister, and then all of a sudden something looks kind of familiar about this place. Oh, it's the dungeon. And then just slowly but surely he comes up with so many just interesting and, dare I say, wonderfully funny ways to make this guy's life a living hell.
You've been wondering why you're here, haven't you? Where you are, who I am, why I'm doing this to you. So guess. If you guess right, I'll tell you. By the old gods and the new, I swear it. You win the game if you can figure out who I am and why I'm torturing you. And I win the game if you beg me to cut off your finger.
If I win, he'll let me go.
If you think this has a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention. You say please again, and you wish you hadn't. You first? Where are we?
The North?
Too vague.
Deepwood Moss.
Terrible guess. Now, where?
Blasters.
Do I look like a fucking umber to you?
The cat hold!
Carl. How did you know that? Did you see any banners flying when we came in?
No. It was just a guess.
Very good, Lord Theon. And who am I?
Torrhen Castor.
He's dead. Strangled by the Kingslayer.
He was your brother. Your father is Lord Rickard Carstark. You swore to tell me.
You're right.
Lord Rickard Carstark is Robb Stark's bannerman. I betrayed Robb. That's why you're torturing me.
Yes. You win. You forgot to ask one question. You forgot to ask if I'm a liar. I'm afraid I am.
And Douglas, we've learned nothing. Oh, that has been entertaining to watch. No doubt. This show is still entertaining.
Yeah.
But, guys...
Well, that's all I demand from my TV.
No.
I want to be entertained.
No. At the end of season 2, that was not all we were demanding. That's the point you are at now. That is a lie. We can go back. We have tape. We have all of this recording. Both of you now are pretending as if that is what we've come here to this series for. For small, entertaining little bits of television. Not this awesome grand scope shit that they promised us for the last 2 seasons. You're like, oh, you know, this is, you know, if you take all of the little parts, you know, then the sum pretty good. You know, sure, nothing happens. Because none of you are denying that nothing has happened. Both of you have sat here. Not a one of you have said, Damien, you're wrong. All of this shit happened. No.
You're like, Damien, I don't know what you're talking about. That moment in which the fat kid gave Arya the wolf bread. That was everything.
Yeah, life-changing. All they've done with the Greyjoy thing is expose what we already knew. Greyjoy is a dick. They didn't treat him poorly at all. And he still betrayed them because he's an asshole. And now he's being tortured. And he's realizing what he already realized earlier. That, oh yeah, I probably shouldn't have done all of that. It's probably a bad idea. Maybe the Starks weren't as dickish to me. But because I wanted to prove something to my father that clearly doesn't like me, I went and did this thing. And now I'm boned. So... nothing. That changes, again, nothing. So you still have 3 people left to tell me. Just tell me where there's a change. There's Jaime Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
One.
His girlfriend.
No.
Yes.
How has she changed?
She likes Jaime Lannister.
Oh. All right, fine. That's where we are.
So, okay, all right, guys. One thing I want to bring up. I don't know if you guys have seen this or read anything about this, but it's something that's been going around the internet. And it's the Lannister honeypot theory, right? Which basically says, because from what I've heard, the character of Rob's wife, there is a wife in the books, but the character that we see in the show is a relatively made up character.
Okay.
And basically, there's this guy who put up this video on YouTube cutting together a lot of season 2, as well as hinting at things that we're looking forward to in season 3, that her inclusion was based on the Lannisters putting her there as a spy, so that she would basically bone Robb Stark, get him guilt marry her, to break her oath, to break his oath to the Freys, which then got us to episode 9, which allowed the Freys to align with the Lannisters so that they could kill Robb Stark, as opposed to on the battlefield where they were losing every day, as they said repeatedly in the show.
Say I accept that as a thing. Fine. What does that have to do with the goodness of season 3? Accept that that is what happened. Jaime Lannister is a wizard.
Tywin
Lannister is a wizard that can see through space and time.
Actually, you know what? If this is true,
Tywin, then season 4 could be awesome.
Shut up. Tywin Lannister is probably... His whole job this season has been planning weddings. So he marries Robb Stark. He marries Tyrion Lannister. Tyrion is the imp.
I totally fucked up those names. Every once in a while I do that. I'm like, Tywin Tyrion. It's like that moment with the phrase. You're like, Waldo, Waldorino, Walderza.
And she's like, my name is Molly. And he's like, whatever. And now he has Cersei to marry off as well. You know, he's you know, bringing joy to...
He's the wedding planner. I was going to point that out, that this season has been a season of weddings, but I thought it would have been too reductive. So thank you, Andrew, for bringing up my own point. Guys, listen.
One last thing. And this is, I'm sure you guys will continue to disagree, but this is just my personal perspective changing, which is the character of Targaryen, Stormborn, right? She has been this character who's been growing from season 1, from the woman who they basically sell off to this brute, the Khaleesi.
Yeah, sold her to Conan.
Right, to Conan, right? And there's so many moments in that first season with her and Conan where it looks like he's basically raping her. Right, continuously.
That's what happened.
He's like the opposite of Tyrion.
I'll share a Facebook post with you that shows you how marriage is supposed to work.
Right.
Okay.
Essentially that. Season 2 was definitely a lot of her growing and definitely looking towards what she is now. But season 3 feels like a complete game changer for her, because when you get to that point where even though for the entire of the show she's been going on about how she's going to go and take back the Seven Kingdoms, she's going to go and return to the throne, the Iron Throne. This season has been about her basically proving her dominance. From that has been the potential dominance of season 2, where like at the end of season 2 you had that moment where the dragons finally spit flames and they cause damage, and now it has
I like how in that shot the fire, while it didn't burn her, that is fine, it also didn't burn her clothes, which doesn't make any sense.
Damien, stop it. Right? You are applying logic to the wrong places, okay?
I'm just saying. Her skin is what is resistant to fire. Not her clothes.
They made clothes based off her skin, right? They have all of those scientists there. They're all Dothraki scientists.
It's been 3 seasons, I still don't understand how magic in this world works. That is clearly because they're making it up as they go, which is fine.
So, question, Damien, because that's something I've heard before, but in this kind of a world, how are you supposed to grasp how magic works when they haven't shown it to you yet? Wouldn't everything that happens new be something new that you're like, holy shit, they can do that?
No, everybody in this world is aware that there is magic. It is not a situation. The only person that doesn't know the rules of magic in this world is us as viewers.
I think that's what we were talking about, though. Right. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But there's no... Right, because everything is new and there's no consistency to the magic, I don't know how it works. But I'm not saying that as a fault. I'm just saying that, you know, all of the magic shit is just... They're just, you know... Like, if you even try to piece it together, it breaks down because you don't know. You have all the information, which is fine. Enjoy it, because then they can dream up more and more madness. But there will come a point where somebody at some point is going to have to sit me as the viewer down and go, all right, Damon.
So basically you want an episode with the Brotherhood of Light where that guy goes, so I can do this, that, this, and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I could do this, but I haven't quite figured it out yet.
Right, but that is the first time I saw that. So, sure, you can resurrect people by chanting words. Yeah. All right, fine. That is a thing. That there's dragons. So once they say that, yo, there's dragons, then anything else that they say is fine. All I'm asking for is for you two to acknowledge that there is some truth in the fact that nothing happens this season. I'm not saying that you guys should like the show. That is ridiculous. What I'm saying is that you admit that this is the weakest season. I need this ambition from both of you because we're running out of time.
I will never admit this.
This is the weakest of the three seasons and nothing happens.
Is it crazy, Andrew?
Season 4 is going to be awesome.
Okay, Andrew, so I don't know if you're getting this vibe because you're not actually seeing Damian, right? But is it weird that I'm getting the kind of vibe from Damian? Mm-hmm. Like, he's some sort of therapist,
right,
who is... kind of slowly but surely trying to show these crazy people that they are crazy, that they first need to admit their craziness before they then now can move on.
Damian's patented two-step program to rightness. Right? Where you admit to Damian, Lord of TV shows. That you look, all right, the side I'm coming from is wanting to love season 3 but realizing that I am wrong. Right? It took me from Tuesday until Sunday night, because I got home at 2 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning, and I said, I'm not going to sleep. I have to watch this before I go to sleep. And I watched it and fell asleep. I watched it and went to sleep, and I woke up and I'm like, that episode wasn't good. And I watched it again. And I went, no, it's still not good. And that is when I came to the realization that all of what I've seen is as good as this episode, which means all of season three is poor. It is poor by Game of Thrones standards. Maybe it's great by other TV show standards, but I'm not watching another TV show. I'm watching this. And you guys came here and you're like, hurrah, hurrah, more Game of Thrones. No. They made promises. What I'm afraid of is that Game of Thrones will do what another TV show that I rewatched recently will do, which is True Blood. At the end of season 1 of True Blood, I was on board. And some crazy shit happened and I went, all right, we'll wait for season 2. At the end of season 2, even crazier shit happened. And no one said anything. Right? When they came for my TV shows, no one said anything. Right? And now, everybody in the world is done with True Blood. People watch it, I guess, to spite themselves. Because it is terrible. Right? I don't want to give up Game of Thrones. I don't, because I enjoy a lot of it. But if season 4 is one more season 3, if there's no payoffs in any of the grand shit that they're setting up, I'll promise you this. I am done. I did it with Dexter. Everyone said, no, Damian, you'll never stop watching Dexter. Dexter is perfect. And then season 6 happened with Julia Stiles.
Oh, yes, that was horrible.
You know what? And then the next one season after I saw that Mos Def was...
No, man.
I watched
shit
with Mos Def.
It was good. Mos Def is awesome. What are you talking about?
That is terrific. I'm glad that you think that. Most people are wrong. I went, oh, so this is where we're going? I'm just going to ignore all of this. This is season 8 is supposed to be the final season, right? Supposedly, from the two people that have seen any of it, it's supposedly good. But I'll wait until I get confirmation. And I don't know if they're doing any more seasons of How I Met Your Mother, but guess who is not watching any of it?
I think this one is the last one.
There's one more.
This next one, yeah.
This was the... Oh, right.
No, this next one is
the last. So guess who's not watching any of that? I'm not watching any of it. No. You only get to... Luther is coming back. So I have shit to watch. And
actually, you know what you should watch too? Is Fall.
And Hannibal.
Hannibal is fantastic.
I've started watching that. And there is House of Cards that I'm watching.
House of Cards,
there's shit to watch. And whenever I run out of shit... Guess what is always on the shelf? The Wire. Not doing this. I hope, just like, even less now, my hope has been diminished because at the end of season 2, I was over the moon for this shit. They have to. Douglas Robinson. They have to do something in season 4. All right.
Yes, Darth Vader, please pull us out of this one.
So anyways, that's been the Unnamed Movie Podcast. As usual, you can hear us over at gmanreviews.com. We are available through iTunes, through Stitcher. Yeah, I don't even know what to say after that. It's been Game of Thrones, guys. Damien is wrong. That's all that matters. Subscribe, listen, enjoy.
Con! She was a pure and fair.